What a great song that was, though. It's perfect for tonight, just perfect. They're doing a video. You know, our 25th anniversary is coming up of the Esquire in the middle of April, just a couple of weeks, and they have asked us to do the big service on a Sunday in the middle of April, and so. It's going to be just like Wednesday night. It's not going to be a little bit of the Esquire. They want it to be just like Wednesday night. So hope you can come to that in the middle of April. And they're doing a video for that service, and they're asking some of us to say what the Esquire means to us, why we love the Esquire. And I just did mine just a few minutes ago, like a little before 7. And so I told them why I love the Esquire is here in a few minutes I get to walk across that street, get on stage, and I get to be around people that love each other, that I love, and I get to say the most important things in the world. Now, there are people who say them better than I do, but it doesn't change that I get to every week get up here and say just life-changing things, and it is a blessing to me. And tonight is, as I believe, one of those studies. You know, we just came out of a series where we talked about a little phrase where the 7 times that Jesus said, I am. And so I tried to think of another little phrase just to kind of keep that going, and I knew it needed to be themed in Easter. And I came up with an idea, and we're going to look at the phrase, but God. That shows up a few times in the Bible. There it is, but God. That very phrase shows up, I don't know, maybe a dozen times, so we're going to pick 5 of them and just do a quick study, and I think it will be a blessing. Was my mic on back there a while ago? Can we just all thank the Lord that wasn't a lot worse than it was? Huh. Yeah. Sometimes I need to put it on mute, I guess, when I walk off that just to be safe. That could have been bad. But not that bad. I'm okay. So there are lots of times that phrase up on the screen shows up, and they're all really, really good places. They teach us good things. And most of the time it shows up in a place where somebody or some people has made a big mess, but God comes in and miraculously delivers us or fixes it or helps us or saves us. And that's usually what's going on. It's that we drift from God or we make a big mess or we get to a place where there just isn't any hope for us on our own, but God comes in and helps us or delivers us, or leads us, or something like that. So I'm excited about this. It's a really special study, and as we go through these, you will see how it is connected to Easter. So we'll just look at, I think, 4 or 5 of these, spend a few minutes on each, and then we'll be done. You could write these down if you want and save them for later, and it's kind of a progression. Here's the first one, Genesis 31. Let's start in verse 4. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance. It is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God, there it is, but God suffered him not to hurt me. So here's a thing, and if you know the story, you know that Jacob is having some trouble with his in-laws. That just didn't start with you, right? That goes all the way back to the first book of the Bible. Those are Laban's daughters, Rachel and Leah, and there's some problems. There are some things they got to get through. You know, they got some work problems, some money problems, and Jacob felt like Laban had promised him a wage and then changed it 10 times. And the bottom line was Jacob didn't think he was being treated fairly. He said, but God delivered me. He was in a relational mess. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to handle it. And relational things can be hard. Amen? They can be hard. Some of the worst problems, if not the worst problems you've ever had, are relational problems. Even people that are close in your family. But Jacob said, but God delivered me. And that's what you need to know about God. You know, he is interested in some of those relational problems that you are going through. He cares about those. He is interested in those. Now, I got to admit, a lot of relational problems, most of the relational problems that I go through are my fault. Because I didn't pay attention the way I should. I didn't treat someone the way I should. I didn't love someone or show care the way I should. Or I said something about, most of them are my fault. Some of them aren't. Some of them, someone has got it in for me. Someone is mad at me. Most of them are my fault, but sometimes they're not. But God cares about those. He doesn't want us to have tough relationships. He wants us to have good, God-honoring relationships, especially with our family. Sometimes people knock you around and it hurts, but God can help you. He can comfort you. He can ease that relationship. It also shows that God protects us. God knew that Laban was after Joseph. He knew that Laban was trying to trap him and trick him, and he didn't leave Joseph. He didn't Jacob alone to deal with that, but he helped him. And it's a blessing because hope is really, really important. Do you know anyone that's lost hope? Do you know anyone that just doesn't have the courage or the hope to take that next step? Hope is really important. That's a necessity. You can go without a lot of things, but you can't go very long without hope. And sometimes sometimes when we get into a mess, but God comes down and delivers us. And one of the ways he does that is he breathes hope into your heart. God's Spirit can breathe hope into your heart to go on. Maybe you're here tonight, you're about to give up. You just have some relationship that's too tough. You're about to give up on it or something else in your life. Maybe you're about to give up something good that's spiritual, like reading your Bible. Maybe you're about to give up praying or give up the Esquire. But God can come into that situation and give you hope to go on. And that's what I take away from that first one. Okay, let's go to another one. Let's go to Genesis 50. This is at the very end of the book of Genesis, and it's about another relational problem. I said Joseph all ago accidentally. This one is about Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph's brothers were really jealous of him and put him through all kinds of things. And after their father died, the brothers were terrified that Joseph was going to turn on them, because Joseph had really been promoted to a high place, and he had a lot of authority and power, and they were really afraid that once the father died, that Joseph would turn on him. Here's what he said: but as for you, brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So this is another one that starts out, like I said, as a relationship problem. It's about Joseph and his brothers. The brothers thought that Joseph would be really mad and turn on him, maybe throw him in the dungeon or something. They had been really mean and ugly to Joseph. They actually sold him to another country, to a caravan, and they thought he had died, and they didn't think they would ever see him again. And it's just a crazy story how that they all came together. But Joseph looked at that differently. He didn't take in bitterness toward his brothers. He had enough faith to believe that as badly as he was treated back there, that God had a purpose in that, and that God used all of that pain. And even though they treated him badly, God would use that to help people down the road. Hey, that's important. That is something that we need to think about. Hey, maybe people are treating you treating you tough. Maybe your own family, and maybe it's not right. But have you can have faith that God is somehow using that for a purpose you may not see then, but maybe you will later. That's what Joseph said. You meant it to harm me, brothers. God meant it for good. Brothers, that wasn't right. I hope you don't do it again. That was a tough thing for me. But I want you to know, but God used that for good. God can take tough situations in our life, even when we're treated unfairly. And if we have faith and give that over, not harbor in a lot of bitterness, God can use that for a special purpose later in life. God had a plan. Sometimes God can give a bigger picture. Sometimes there's more going on than we can see. There's more happening than we can see right at that moment. God has the advantage of seeing the past, present, and future. We can see the present, a little bit of the past we can remember, and we do not have that ability to see the future. Can I tell you a story? One time I was at church, and it was one of the first times that I started driving. I was 16. It was back in, 1979, something like that, maybe the summer of 1979, and Mom and Dad made this decision that I could drive the family home from church. We went to Faith Baptist Church. It was 5 miles from our house. Now, that's a big decision because I hadn't driven a lot, and it's 5 miles of hilly and windy roads, and as it turned out, I got behind a tractor. Now, I was all cool. I acted like I'd done it a million times, and the guy driving the tractor, his name was Robert Clark. Never will forget this. Well, but because I put all my family's life at risk, I never will forget it. So what happened was I got behind him, and he is on the hill on his tractor, and he can see things that we can't see, and so I trusted him. And so Robert on that tractor looked ahead, and he starts waving me around, okay? I trusted him. I go around. All of a sudden, Robert starts waving me back. Now, I can't. What do I do? I can't go in reverse, right? I know he thinks he can wave me back. That's harder for me to do. But somehow, I got it back behind the tractor. You know, I hit the brakes and everything. My dad went, "What are you doing, son?" And I got back. The truck came by. The big truck came by. And I don't think I passed a tractor ever again in my life. Never. I never trusted anyone on a tractor again. So I said all that. You know, we're like my family in that car. We have to trust the person that can see ahead. And we don't have Robert Clark on our tractor. We have the Lord. And he doesn't make mistakes. He can really see ahead in our lives, even though we can't. And sometimes he'll wave us on gently, and you can trust him to go forward, even when you can't see. There's a purpose ahead of us that he can see that we can't see. Okay, let's look at another one. Let's go to Acts 13, verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, this is Jesus, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Isn't that a good one? They keep getting better. But God. Hey, that was a dark day. That was the worst day in the history of the world. The worst day in the history of people. And you know what? God made it the best day, right? It was the worst day, and God made it the best day. But God raised him from the dead. I think that's the best one. It's just the best. That's Easter right there. But God raised him from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. Death could not keep him. A few weeks ago, we said that was the greatest comeback in the history of the world, and it was. It was the lowest moment in history, and God made it the best moment in history. All right, let's look at the next one. Romans 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now this shows that Jesus cared enough for you that he willingly gave his life for you. He loved you that much, and he showed it by giving his life for you. So what Paul's doing, he's saying, you know, you may not have a lot of people. You may not have anyone in your life who would die for you. You may not have anybody, but Jesus did. Some people may have a few people that would die for them. You may die for your country. But what Paul's saying is, no matter who you would or wouldn't die for, or no matter who would or wouldn't die for you, you need to know this. Jesus loved you so much, he died for you. But God sent his son, commendeth his love toward us, and that even though we were sinners, he knew everything about us, and he still loved us so much, he died for us. When you really get to know this verse, it really changes how you look at things. Okay, one more. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So what Paul's, they were getting into fights in the book of 1 Corinthians especially is a book of what not to do. It was a church that had all kinds of problems. And here in this chapter 3, they were fighting about who was more important because who baptized them. That'd be like saying, well, Adam baptized me and I must be better than the people at the Esquire because Mike baptized me there. They were all in that kind of mess like that. And so Paul's saying, hey, we're a team. We are a team. And if we could just go back to that verse 1 second. He says, I planted a seed. Apollos may have watered. He did a little more work in your lives. But God is the one who gave the increase. God grows the people, but God grows. And so what I learned from this verse is I can trust the results to God. It's all his. He gives it all. If he wants to use me this way or that way or not so much or very much, I'm good with that. I used to get caught up into that. I don't too much anymore. I just trust God to give the increased and just be part of the team. Now, this can really help you through some tough times. If you're going through things in life that you don't understand right then, you may not think you have enough of a supply, but God is the one who uses us in his time, in his way. If you are willing to be used, he will use you. May not seem a great way, but it's God's perfect way that he will use you if you are willing to be used. He has, everything is God's. I had a pastor friend of mine who passed away a few years ago. His name was Mel, and he said, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he gives them to me one hamburger at a time. Right? That's the truth. I get them one hamburger at a time, but it doesn't change. God has everything. It's all his. He can do anything. I just trust him. I may do this. You may do that. It's all good. I don't care who gets the spotlight, but God gets the increase. Okay, there's your study. We'll do another Easter theme next week. I sure appreciate you. Let me pray and we'll be done. Father, wow, what a set of verses, Lord. Thank you for those. That middle one especially, but God raised them from the dead. That is a blessing. Thank you for Easter. Thank you, Lord, that we serve you and you proved you love us by sending your son
and who died for us and rose from the grave. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's it. We'll be back next time at the Esquire.